This Sunday Show with Ed Finn.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
And you're very welcome to the Sunday Show. Coming to you this evening from lovely West Cork. And I'm delighted to be joined by Ciála Hodgins, who's the owner of Donóin House. Ciála, you're very welcome to the programme. And it's lovely to be here in West Cork.
And you're very welcome. I'm delighted to finally meet you and welcome you to Ardfield and Donóin House.
Now, driving down, Ciála, I have to say, what a beautiful part of Ireland this is that you've found here. Now, before we get into the wonderful offering you have here and the stunning property that you've created, you've a very interesting background. You decided to get out of the rat race and move to this gorgeous part of the world.
We did. It took us a few attempts, but almost 10 years ago now, we moved from Dublin down to West Cork slightly on a whim, but definitely on an adventure.
And what was it about this part of Ireland, I suppose, West Cork? Now, I think you told me when we were chatting over a gorgeous piece of your coffee cake earlier that you'd only been here once before.
Yeah, we had been in Clonakilty once the year before we moved here. We came for a wedding of a very good friend of ours, and the wedding was in DeBarra's pub. And that was really our first experience of Clonakilty. And then the following year, we happened to come down to look at a property just slightly on a whim and came across Donóin House by chance. And really, that was it. That was the start of this ride.
And I mean, you have a background in marketing yourself. Your husband, Stephen, worked in finance. So did you just decide, I've had enough and that's it? And but the hospitality area, was that something that you always sort of had a passion to get into?
No, not at all. Yeah, my background was marketing. I worked as a marketing consultant. I worked with giftware and jewellery brands. I was very happy with my life in Dublin. But I think we just got to this stage where I think more so Stephen felt that really we could have another adventure in us. And every year for a few years, we'd go and look at a different property and have this sort of idea that, God, maybe we could do something. We weren't sure what we wanted to do, but we thought our best chance of doing something outside of Dublin was probably in hospitality and probably on the holiday side, whether it was holiday rental or self-catering or a small hotel. Definitely not restaurants or anything like that, because we didn't have that experience. But really, before we moved here, my only experience in hospitality was working as a chambermaid in hotels in Germany and America during my college years. So yeah, and there was a bit of a gap between that and moving here.
This is the Fergie Chalet girl experience.
No, definitely.
Verbier.
No, I'm pure.
Wonderful. And I mean, you have three children, and was that difficult to tell them, lads, we're off to West Cork?
To be fair, we didn't give them much choice or much time. We saw this house. We came back to Dublin. We put our house up for sale. Miraculously, in 2013, it sold within a week. And within 6 weeks, we were here in West Cork with three kids, a dog, a cat, and sort of a plan.
So the bridges were burned.
Yeah. No, the kids I have to say, once they got over the same shock as us, they really settled in and they were brilliant. We probably didn't give them enough credit for how well they did settle in here and how now they see West Cork as definitely home.
Amazing. Now, that was in 2013. Yeah. And the house here that you've created now, I must say, I had a walk around earlier and it's such a stunning property that you've created. We're going to talk about the famous people as well, of course, amazing characters that have been here before. Was there a lot of work involved? Was this like a grand designs program that you'd see on telly?
It was probably a bit more like Escape to the Chateau or something. When we saw it, we instantly knew that the bones were really good and it had great potential. There is this main house, 1700s house, and it had decent land. But what really drew us in was the fact that there were outbuildings, and we felt that to do something properly, we needed to have extra space where we as a family could live independently from our business and our guests. So there was a ruined coach house and some ruined outbuildings. And that was really what sort of drew us into it.
Now, West Cork here, of course, is famous, I suppose, for a lot of people, famous musicians, etc., would just sort of, you know, escape here in a way, sort of get off the sort of, you know, the hamster wheel and kind of find themselves really here. How did you find the change between the big city and coming here?
It was a bit of a culture shock to begin with, because we would have had busy lives and, you know, running around with our kids. But people here, we really looked out with the community that we became part of here. Everybody really around us is so welcoming from the very beginning. We actually have a better social life now here than we ever had in Dublin. And like you said, there are so many, I'll still call them blow-ins. We're a blow-in. But West Cork is used to being invaded by blow-ins for centuries. So there is this openness. And I think maybe facing out towards the sea, there is that, you know, they're used to being, you know, travellers coming in. So it's a very open community. It's a very open-minded community. There's lots of people here having sort of second life adventures. People like ourselves who maybe work corporate but want to do something totally different. Or the whole artistic and musical community that have really been priced out of some of our cities have found lives here. So it's such a vibrant mix. Like we meet people, whether it's in our gym or in the pub or on the beach or just our swimming, anything, our daily lives, we meet such a fantastic mix of people that we probably wouldn't have come across before this.
That's really interesting, actually, and lovely to hear that. Mm-hmm. Now, the house here is quite stunning and it has an amazing history to it. So just touching on it, I was reading there earlier that it was Captain George Sands that built it, I think, in the late 1700s. Is that right, Keila?
Yeah, the house was built in around 1771, 1772. It would have had about 500 acres and it was owned by a Captain George Sands. And he lived to well over 80 years of age and would have been a big landowner, would have had a lot of workers here. Like there's still the old famine bell is in the courtyard there. I'll show it to you. And just would have been probably one of the biggest employers around here on the Dunowen Peninsula. Now it's got 4 acres and it's slightly smaller. Thank God for us, because 4 acres is enough to mind. But yeah, so different, like over time, there were aunts of Michael Collins lived here. We really need to investigate the full history of it. But I think locally, what the house is really known for is the fact that Noel Redding, who was the bass guitarist with the Jimi Hendrix Experience, lived here for 30 years. He came here after he left the band and he died here in the house and his ashes are in the garden. So there's a real spirit, and I don't think it'll ever be Keila and Stephen's house. It will always probably be known as Noel's house for quite a while.
Now, it's amazing actually, when we were having a walk around earlier, you've got beautiful photographs, you know, from Noel and from the Jimi Hendrix days, but it you do get a sense there of his kind of almost the sort of energy. There's a whole feel around the place of sort of creative energy.
Yeah, some people have said there's definitely a spirit, but I think Noel was such a laid back, sort of fun, kind guy, very, you know, chilled. I think if his spirit is here, it's definitely a chilled, laid back spirit.
Now, I mean, it's quite a challenge, I guess, to buy a house that was built in the 1700s, mm-hmm. right? And the way that it's created today, and when you look around, I saw pictures of sort of previous, how it looked previously. I mean, you've done the most amazing restoration job here, the attention to detail, the finishes. You know, brilliant. Now, I know you bought this from, I think, was it Nick Kershaw you told me?
Yes,
all know Nick Kershaw.
Yeah.
Great fan.
I was a fan in the 80s, I have to say. I'm hoping that he'll still come back and I can fangirl him at this stage. Yeah, so he bought it from the estate of Noel Redding when Noel died, himself and a number of investors. And they, I suppose at the height of the Celtic Tiger market, started the renovations of the house. But then things sort of changed and the house came up for sale, and it was for sale for a few years. We were very fortunate to come across it at a certain point. But it definitely needed more work. And it has, I think it has nearly taken us the 10 years to get it to this point. We've done it ourselves. We've done it out of our own pockets. You know, we've put everything into this property. And yeah, we've collected so many of the quirky bits you see around the house. We found some when we were renovating the coach house where we live, things that had just been put in boxes that were Noel's old magazines, Hot Press and Rolling Stone magazines, and You know, we have the original telex on the wall here behind you of from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, an invitation inducting Noel into it. So these were things that we just found. So, like, yeah, I'm sort of rambling a bit, but, you know, there's just so much here.
No, but it's a wonderful story because, I mean, I think, you know, I was over in Barberston Castle there recently and Eric Clapton used to own
Yeah.
It's so lovely to hear things I didn't actually know until we met. And it's fascinating stuff, really, when you think about it. And I guess, I know one of the bedrooms was probably a recording studio at one stage. And you have guitars here as well. And what's really nice about it here is the whole peace and quiet. Tranquility. Now, to give people an idea where we're located, I suppose we're just outside Clonakilty, isn't that right?
Yeah, we're 10 minutes drive along the Wild Atlantic Way route out towards Galleyhead Lighthouse. So we're in a spectacular location. We're surrounded by coastline. We've got five beaches within 5 minutes of the house. There's a beautiful little cove at the bottom of our laneway called Sands Cove. It's not sandy. It's named after Captain George Sands. And yeah, it's just, I mean, that was one of the things that really drew us in. When we came to look at this house, we came over that hill and saw Galleyhead Lighthouse and that expanse of sea and land. And we thought, how have we not found this area before? You know, we're really so lucky. And a lot of our social life and our activity in our community and where we send our guests is along the coast to do, whether it's kayaking or fishing or swimming or bodyboarding or just walking. You know, it's such a special location.
You're listening to The Sunday Show. I'm Ed Finn. My guest this evening is Keila Hodgins from the Dunoan House.
This Sunday Show with Ed Finn.
Sunshine. 106.8 Sunshine 106.8.
And you're very welcome back to The Sunday Show, coming to you this evening from beautiful West Cork and Dunoan House here with my special guest Keila Hodgins. Keila, the vision that you had and the actual practical application of it all, is there a lot of things that you learned over the 10 years, I suppose, that you wish I would have known at the start?
I don't know if there's anything I wish I'd known at the start, because I think if I'd known it, I probably wouldn't have done it.
A lot of people say that, don't they? About
yeah. I mean, we came here thinking we'll try a few things and we'll see what works. And when we opened first, we did B&B and we also did people coming and taking the whole property in its entirety. And what we found was that we were losing inquiries for taking the entire property for the sake of a couple of people coming on a bed and breakfast basis. So we, after about 6 months, we decided, okay, we need to just focus on one thing. And from traveling ourselves over the years, we often found it hard to find somewhere really nice we wanted to go on holidays ourselves. And I think that was the overriding goal or vision for Stephen and I, was that we wanted to create a place where we would love to go on holidays with our family or our friends. So that's when we decided then, yes, we'll just concentrate on creating this place where groups can come, whether it's families or friends or for celebrations or just your holidays.
What's really interesting, what I love about this is that it's, you know, I mean, there's an evolution, I suppose, or an involvement really of different offerings in the whole hospitality area. Now, what you're offering here is really unique. I mean, to compare it, I suppose, for people to give them an idea, if you rent a villa in Portugal or if you want to have a self-catering, I mean, there's a lot of kind of things you can do here. You do lovely small weddings. But just to give people an idea of the really unique offering that you have here.
I think when you come here, it's like having a small country house hotel just for you. So you come here, you take over the house. It's very laid back. We sort of feel it's got laid back luxury. All the bedrooms are like suites. They've all got their own bathtubs, some in the room, some in separate bathrooms. And we're here for as much or as little as you want us to be. We live on site. So some of our guests want a full on experience where we come in and we cook for them every night and we create tours for them or recommendations of things to do. Whereas some people just want to come and maybe look after themselves totally, or maybe just have us to come in and cook one dinner party featuring all the local lovely produce. So we're very flexible. We just want people to really come and experience what it is like to live here, to go to the local pub, to go to our beaches, to go into the farmer's market in Clonakilty or Skibbereen, to feel like this is a home from home with like a little mini hotel home.
Yeah, and I mean, that is something that I thought was really fabulous when I came here. You walk in there, you do get the sense that you're in somebody's house. And there's that gorgeous sort of personal touch that you have here, which I thought was super. Did you sort of see a gap in the market, or did you, you know, when you had to, you tried the guest house experience, and then did you say to yourself, I've got a better idea, this must be something that I think would be better than this?
I think we did, because probably we weren't in hospitality and we didn't come up through the family ranks of this is the way it always was and this is the way you should do it. There were at the time quite a few guest houses and B&Bs in the area, and then there's some really great hotels here as well. But there wasn't much to, you know, that was hard to find really good quality self-catering properties. I think 10 years ago probably was the case throughout Ireland. It's definitely improved over the years, and probably Airbnb has had sort of an impact on that. But I think 10 years ago was definitely an opening for this. I do see more people doing it, and people who maybe would have had guest houses or B&Bs moving out of that and doing what we're doing now as well.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not often that you see properties a part of the Blue Book, of course. And I mean, the prestigious Blue Book, we all know a Blue Book voucher for Christmas is the present you want to get. I think, you know, people love them. But it was a nice for you, I guess. It was wonderful to be accepted as a member.
Oh, it was fantastic. We were just thrilled. We couldn't believe it. We'd contacted them and they came to have a look at the house, and instantly they said, yeah, we'd love you to be in it. And I mean, it's such a badge of honour. And I think for whether it's international or Irish guests, to know that you're part of the Blue Book means a certain level of quality. There's an expectation of what you're going to get. And it would be the only group for us that we would have considered being part of.
Yeah, wonderful. And I mean, in terms of events then, and you know, you can do everything here really, I suppose. You have cottages, you have the house here as well. So just give us an idea of the different offerings, if you like.
Okay, so there's the main house, which is Dunoan House, and that is 6 bedrooms, and we can accommodate up to 15 guests. And then we have the cottage in the wall garden, which is originally would have been old outbuildings. And that's a very cute cottage with 3 bedrooms and can sleep 5 guests. So that can be taken independently. Both properties can be taken independently, or they can be taken together depending on the size of your group. And then from there, you can move on to having us come in and cater for you. Or if you have a special celebration, a big birthday, an anniversary, you want to gather family and friends together, come here and we look after you. Recently, I think maybe because of COVID, the interest in smaller, more intimate weddings has grown. And that's been great for us, where we can host weddings for up to 30 guests. Elopements, we love elopements, because we have everything ready for them when they come. We have such a fantastic range of wedding suppliers locally. And then what's really popular is our luxury hen party package. So we have a 2-day stay where you can come and we can recommend local activities, from a sauna and a sea swim, yoga in the house, chocolate and Prosecco making classes. Well, not making Prosecco, drinking the Prosecco and making the chocolate. And yeah, have a dinner party, and then we'll arrange transport into one of the great pubs in Clonakilty. Yeah, so a little bit different to your normal hen party.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, yeah, because some people would think hen parties and they think of, you know, weekends in Prague, people, you know, drinking all day and all night. But this is very different. This is a beautiful sort of a bespoke luxury hen party experience, I would imagine.
Yeah, I don't think you're coming to Dunoan if you're going to go on a wild rave now. Yeah. If that's what you're interested in, maybe go to one of the cities. I think people, maybe it's to do with the demographic, you know, brides and their parties are getting a little bit older. They want something a bit more, not sedate, but a little bit more luxurious. They're not into maybe drinking as much and just want something special. And that's what we really try to provide them with.
And I mean, of course, the location here as well is amazing. I saw you were talking there with Michael Collins earlier. I see there's a Michael Collins trail now. I saw in Clonakilty earlier there today, I was in the visitor experience, which was really interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole area here, I actually have learned a lot in my few days that I've been here. There's so much going on here in West Cork, isn't it? And I mean, your beach, you have a beautiful little beach just minutes away from here as well. So it's just a kind of a halcyon, beautiful setting, isn't it?
Well, I really feel Clonakilty is the capital of West Cork.
Of Ireland.
Oh, of Ireland, yeah, sorry. God, my dub family and friends are going to kill me. But we have such a fantastic collection of all-weather activities in Clonakilty. Like, we have the brilliant Clonakilty Distillery and visitor experience. That's really world-class experience. We've got the Model Railway Village. We've got the Clonakilty Pudding Visitor Centre, where you can go to see the home of Clonakilty Pudding and Sausages and have a sample of these at the end.
I think there's the Kerrygold Butter and Clonakilty Black Pudding. Keila, I think wherever I go in the world, they seem to know about them.
Yeah, we had Italian friends come stay and I had to convince them to have the Clonakilty pudding. And then when I was going back to visit them, I said, do you want me to bring anything with me? And the only thing they asked me, could I sneak over some Clonakilty black pudding to them?
The checked-in bag.
Yeah. So there's so many things like the sea kayaking. One of the best things you can do around here in the summertime is go down to Loch Eyne for the nighttime kayaking with Atlantic Sea Kayaking. And you will go out at dusk and the bioluminescence in the water, I think, is like having like Tinkerbell in the water. Trail your fingers through the water as you kayak around Loch Eyne in pitch black with the stars, like no light pollution, and then all this fabulous bioluminescence in the water. It really is one of the most magical things you can do.
That's incredible. I remember I studied horticulture in a previous life. Okay. And I remember there was trees that grow around Loch Eyne, Gambostrium lenceolatum, which were the chili fire trees.
Wow.
And I remember bringing one home. There was a garden centre nearby, Kinsale, and I brought one home, but it didn't grow in Bishopstown at all. It had to be, Loch Eyne is amazing that they have the microclimate. I mean, it was, for people to know, it was cut off from the sea.
Yeah.
And there's fish and there's life in there that is completely unique, isn't there?
There is,
a lot of people don't know about that.
Yeah, and it has depths that I think are nearly unknown. If you're a bit of a nervous swimmer,
yeah.
I know a lot of my friends would go out and swim around the island in Loch Eyne. I am just not that, you know, I'm not that brave, but it has a unique life, sea life in there, and there's people come from all over the world.
It is an absolutely incredible place. And again, that's why I was saying, imagine chili fire trees that only grew in Chile, and they were in Loch Eyne. I mean, fascinating stuff. Remember, we were taught that.
And there's a beautiful hike up Loch Eyne, and you can go up the really high hill above it, and then you've got the most amazing views out to Baltimore and Cape Clear and just all the islands around and the sea and the coast. It's beautiful.
You're bringing me back now. I remember our school tour to Cape Clear years ago, and with all these Volkswagens everywhere and everything. It was amazing. Yeah, beautiful part of the world as well. You're listening to The Sunday Show with my very special guest tonight, Keila Hodgins, and we're here in Dunoan House in West Cork.
This Sunday Show with Ed Finn.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
And you're very welcome back to The Sunday Show, coming to you this evening from the lovely Dunoan House here in West Cork. Fabulous to talk about Loch Eyne, Keila, because I didn't think a lot of people, obviously, in all around Ireland knew about Loch Eyne, but it really is a special place. And you kayaked there as well.
Yeah, during the summertime, we would kayak quite a good bit out through the rapids. There's very narrow rapids that you can only go through at a certain time when the tides are right. And we go through those and out along the coast and sea kayak up to maybe Union Hall or into Glandore. It's a full day activity, really good fun. Now you'd need to be fit.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The kayaking is great, except if the wind goes the wrong way, careful.
Yeah.
Amazing. I mean, Glandore, of course, another beautiful part of the world. There's so many celebrities. I think I heard Graham Norton has a house in Glandore or something, or somewhere nearby.
He's down in Ahakista.
Oh, God, I can't even pronounce that.
A little bit further down,
Of course, and he would have gone to Bandon Grammar School, which is only up the road here as well. Now, during COVID, of course, this must have been quite a tumultuous time for you, I guess, and for everybody in hospitality. How did that manifest itself in terms of business here?
Well, once we got over the initial shock of our business just being closed and nobody being able to come to us and, you know, cancellations coming in, as a self-employed business owner, that was quite a shock. But then we sort of got used to it and realised of all the places you could be stuck, it wasn't really the worst place to be. And we threw ourselves really into projects here around the garden and growing our own produce and getting big into growing cut flowers for the house. A lot of swimming, a lot of socialising on the beaches. We were lucky that they were all within whatever distance limits were out at the time. And then I would have got, just to keep myself amused or entertained, the kids also suggested that I should start baking and posting my recipes online. So for about a year, I used to do a thing called Cake Monday, where every Monday I'd make a cake and I'd put up the recipe on our Instagram or our Facebook and on our website. And that became hugely popular. I got to know so many people in the social media community because of it. And I saved all the recipes on our website. So people, I do see the pages. Some pages are really, really popular. People keep coming back to them over and over again. And I think locally, I probably became a bit more known for my baking.
Yeah, well, I have to admit that I also downloaded your book online. I think Frangipani, I got very ambitious at one stage, right? I thought I'm going to, but I had your coffee cake today, which was just absolutely
one
of the best coffee cakes I've ever had. And I think I had custard creams handmade as well, which were far from the ones I used to eat.
There's no comparison.
Unbelievable. But where did you get the extent of the recipes? I mean, it's amazing the variety that you have on that book there.
Yeah, so people can download that from our website once they go on to JeanOwenHouse.ie. And then in there is probably a selection of either my favourite or the most popular. I would have got inspiration from, you know, different bakers I follow online or on TV, chefs over the years, and then I would have adapted my own recipes. I love making pastry, so there's quite a lot of tarts there. And nothing is too hard for the home baker, really. So don't be afraid of the frangipan.
Yeah, I know, that's easier now. I've seen, but I mean, there's a lot of work into those recipes. But truly incredible. Now, people that have stayed here, I've seen the reviews are fabulous reviews about the food here, right? I think it's probably part of a lot of the wonderful offerings, part of the Blue Book, I suppose, as well, that yes. They have all synonymous with really good food. And it's lovely that you do these bespoke menus and sort of tailor-made. So isn't it lovely that people can come here and you offer them menus and then you cook the actual lovely dinners for them?
Well, we're spoiled, really, the fact that where we are, there's so many amazing producers locally, and then with what we can grow in the garden. So without having to gild the lily at all, we can create menus that people really just enjoy. I mean, Stephen loves telling guests that he's just dug the potatoes out of the garden an hour before they eat them, or the carrots.
I'm telling you, it's the good life around here. It's the good life.
I don't knit his underpants, so you're okay.
That's a relief for him, I'm sure. But really, it's your chickens. I just saw the lovely chickens running around there, so the eggs must be gorgeous as well.
Yeah, I know. Who would have thought this dub would end up down here with chickens and vegetables and all this.
But it's wonderful. Now, of course, you were saying there earlier, I noticed you've got amazing the decor here. You've beautiful pieces. I saw upstairs a Ghanaian digging tool. I was like, that's a first now. I've never seen that before. Where did you get all this amazing? I mean, your style, this beautiful eclectic taste that you have. I mean, everywhere you look, there's something lovely.
I'm a bit of a magpie, I think. So, and I was saying to you earlier that this is our eighth house. So we have moved quite a bit over the years and probably just accumulated things. But then being here, I'm a bit spoiled because there's three houses that I've had to furnish. So I've had a great excuse to go to all the local auctions, and there's some nice vintage stores, and my passion for finding rugs. There's quite a few rugs around the house. So
No, it's like a Turkish bazaar here. Persia. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, so I've collected things from when I lived abroad, or we lived in Dublin, or just down here. And yeah, what you see is a mix of our own personal pieces and then things that were in old weddings and then memorabilia that we've bought and that we found. And yeah, so it's a mishmash.
Yeah, I know. And it's very interesting. I mean, you were telling me earlier as well that your son now is involved in hospitality as well, and he's over in Canada, and, you know, he's involved in whiskey making. Isn't it amazing?
I think he got into it at the right time. He did a degree in science and then specialized in brewing and distilling. So he worked for West Cork Distillers here in Skibbereen when he left college, and then we encouraged him to spread his wings. So he's now in Whistler for 2 years working in hospitality over there. So, you know, if he gets bored of the snow, he might come home and help us with the business, but we'll see.
What's lovely about the area here as well, Keely, is there's third and fourth generation owners of properties here. It seems to be handed down. Are you hopeful that that's going to be the case here as well?
Oh gosh, I don't know.
I mean, I wouldn't be able to say no to this anyway. Absolutely.
No, I don't. They might take a bit of persuading, but you never know. We'll see. We'll see. We're not going anywhere yet anyway.
For people now that want to come down and would like to book this experience here, Keela, what would you say for you would be your ideal, we'll say 3 days, or I presume it's kind of an average of weekends and sort of short stays. It depends. I know you have a cottage as well, that if you're a writer and you want a little retreat, you have a gorgeous cottage that you rent out as well. But for somebody that wanted an ideal sort of, would know, we'll say, like West Cork that well, what would you say would be a lovely sort of 3 days here?
Well, if you can come and stay here for two two days minimum outside the summer months. And then in the summer months, it's a weekly stays. So we can put together an itinerary for you, no matter how long you're staying. Actually, on our website, I have things to do, trips, recommended itineraries on a day-to-day basis. So say you could arrive here on a Friday night and we've got a dinner waiting for you to help yourselves to. And then I would suggest if you were here on a Saturday, go down to Skibbereen Farmers Market and have a look at all the great local producers down there, the cheeses and the breads and the growers and the chicken farmers and all the other crafts. That's a great thing to do. And then maybe from there, go down to Baltimore, the Beacon. In the summer, take the ferry from the Beacon out to Sherkin Island. Like, that's like going back to the 60s, where you walk the lanes and go to these remote beaches and you hardly meet anybody, pack a picnic and stay there for the afternoon. And then maybe another day, go out around Clonakilty, go and do the tour and the tasting in the distillery. Or if you've got smallies, go to the beach, go to Inchidani or go to Red Strand or walk Long Strand and have a cup of coffee. Maybe go to the Model Railway Village for the smallies and then get on the little choo-choo train that goes around town. Or if you're a history buff, go and read and hear all about Michael Collins and the history of Michael Collins here in Clonakilty. And then if you're a music fan, you're definitely not spoiled for choice. So you are spoiled for choice.
Well, that's one thing about here as well. I was looking, I mean, music is everywhere around Clonakilty, isn't it? And there's amazing traditions here with the music and Irish music as well.
Every night of the week, you'll find music, live music in Clonakilty, whether it's just a session of traditional players in on Chuck Yogg or O'Donovan's, or like fantastic, you know, world famous musicians doing gigs in DeBarra's. And then you've got Shanley's, which can have all sorts of really like Bill Shanley plays with world famous musicians and Gilbert O'Sullivan. And who else is he playing? So, or you go to, nearly every pub in Clonakilty, you'll find music every night.
Yeah. And of course, as you were saying earlier as well, there really is something special about a whole terroir around here that creates the amazing produce. Isn't that, I mean, the rest of, I don't think you can get a bad meal around here at all.
Well, not here, not in the known house anyway. From fish and chips, like in the fish basket on Long Strand, to like really good Michelin star food down in Day Days in Baltimore, or the Chestnut in Ballydehob. Like, we really are spoiled for choice.
So, Keila, you've no regrets?
Probably the only regret is that we didn't do it a little bit sooner. But then, you know, things just happen for a reason. And yeah, definitely no regrets.
And what would you say is your philosophy on life now?
Say yes to as many things as you can. And just if you're getting older, like if you're middle-aged, it doesn't mean your life is over. You can have a whole other adventure. I think, yeah, there's so many possibilities. Don't just do the same old thing for the rest of your life. Just reinvent yourself. And if you're lucky enough, find somewhere with a community and an outlook and opportunities, maybe like West Cork.
Keila Hodgins, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for sharing your story with us this evening. And what a beautiful place. And I'm going to be very hard pushed now to leave here, I can tell you today. Keila Hodgins from Dunoan House. Thanks a million.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you.